Thank the Lord for his goodness. I'd like to look at some scriptures in Genesis, the sixth chapter. I'd like to look a little more in-depthly to some of the verses we read last week. Genesis 6 and 1 said, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, the daughters and daughters were born unto them." In the Greek, the Septuagint says, "when men began to be numerous upon the earth." The King James says, "when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man." The Septuagint brings the thought that "my spirit shall not remain among these men forever. For that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown." I want to look at these verses just a little bit this morning. First of all, I want us to notice it says the sons of God saw the daughters of men. There's a very definite distinction between this. And I remember studying this years ago, and it kind of came to light when I... what is happening here, when I read the previous chapter, chapter 5. And I'm not going to take time to read all of chapter 5, but I just want to notice a few verses in chapter 5. You remember Cain had slew Abel, and Eve made comment that Seth was born, and she mentioned that God had given her a son in the room of Abel, whom God had slew. We know that Abel was a righteous man. His sacrifice was acceptable before God. And somehow early on, there was a communication about sacrificing and serving God. There was somehow a communication between God and Adam and Eve. But they began to sacrifice, I'm sure. They probably prayed. But I'd like to read, it said in verse 6, "And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters." Chapter 4, verse 26, speaking of Enos, it said, "And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." So Enos called on the name of God. He prayed. We know Abel was a righteous man. Enos here is born, and said, "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." We go down to chapter 5, verse 24. It speaks of Enoch. It says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." So we recognize the New Testament makes comment of Enoch that he had the testimony that he pleased God. He was translated that he shouldn't see death. He was a righteous man. He was in this lineage. Verse 25, it talks about Methuselah. Methuselah, we know about him, that he was the one that lived the longest on earth, 969 years. And can you imagine? 906, almost 1,000 years he lived upon the earth. I can't imagine. I'm sure they were probably in good health. I don't think they were like 99 in our age time for 1,000 years. 1,000 years. If the earth has only been here for like a little over 6,000 years or close to 7,000 years, that would be 1/7 of the time of the earth's population. 1,000 years. That's 10 100 lifetimes. It's just very hard to comprehend. The length of the life, another thing that stood out to me as a side note, that actually when God called Abraham, Shem was still alive. Shem was Noah's son that stepped off the ark. He was still alive when God called Abraham. He lived after, he was about 100 years old when the flood came, and he lived another 500 years. And we know that God decreased the time. There was two generations that lived 400 and some years, and then it was knocked down to 200 years and into like 120. So we know that within five generations, man's lifespan was greatly reduced. But Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Methuselah, he lived the longest. And I want to look at Lamech. There was something very interesting I found about. Now, verse 29, chapter 5, verse 29. Lamech begat Noah, and it said, and he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. Now, I want to read what the Septuagint says on about. It says, this is what Lamech said in the Septuagint. It says, and he called his name Noah, saying, this one will cause us to cease from our works and from the toils of our hands and from the earth which God has cursed. So it's saying he'll cause us to cease from our works, from the toils of our hands, and from the earth which the Lord God has cursed. And this is when Noah was born. So somehow there was connection with God in these people. There was a connection with these different ones. There was a spiritual understanding. And then we know that Noah, Genesis 6:9, it says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Said Noah walked with God. So this, we're talking about the lineage of Christ. This is the lineage of Christ that Christ came through. These men. But then we go to what we read in chapter 6 when it says the sons of God saw the daughters of men. And they just took them wives of all of which they chose. And then it said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. And it's talking about, in verse 4, it says, there were giants in the earth in those days, And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. I don't believe this is really talking about giants in the physical sense that we think of giants. I think there probably could have been a better word used in the translation. The Septuagint mentions the last part. It said, and after that, when the sons of God were wont to go in to the daughters of men, they bore children to them. Those were the giants of old, the men of renown. It was men that had influence. It was men that had they had understanding. They had in this lineage their what they had. They married the daughters of men, people without spiritual understanding, and I believe it caused a falling away. It caused, we know from the scriptures what ungodly relationships will cause, what they will do. And I believe it happened here. They saw the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they married them, and it caused a falling away. And now we see in verse 5, you see this overall picture. We see the lineage of Christ. We see Him marrying the daughters. And then now we see, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made man. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There should have been others. There could have been others, I believe, that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But there was a falling. There was a decline. And I wanted to mention that just a little bit this morning. There's a verse, I believe, in 2 Thessalonians that talks about before the coming of the Lord, it said there'll be a falling away. And I believe that has historically happened time and time again when God has brought judgment against the people. Another verse says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because iniquity is abounding, because it's multiplying, because it's there, it says, the love of many shall wax cold. So that gives us a challenge this morning that on our day and our time that we would hold fast to what God has revealed, the truth that He's given to us. In the Sunday school this morning, I was thinking about if we do fail the grace of God, I believe a very important part is to be able to repent to God, ask God for forgiveness, change course, change directions, and don't go the same way. If we realized we failed and we made an error and we failed the grace of God, repentance is a very important part of being restored and being able to stay on track. If not, there in Revelations, when He talked to the churches, to the congregations there, in one place it said, I gave her space to repent. It was the woman that was Jezebel that was teaching false things. I gave her space to repent. She repented not. God gives us space. He gives us a place to turn around. He gives us a time. So it's very important for us to be able to, I believe, to continue on in the grace of God is to recognize our error, repent, make things right the best we know how, and change and turn and go a different direction. I believe that's very, very important for us in our spiritual. If we don't, then that's how we go into darkness. That's how we go into a place where our understanding is lightened. He said, walk in the light while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. I wanted to get 2 Peter, the third chapter, and I want to notice the challenges here. The second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir up, this verse 1, your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. He says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. It says they're willingly ignorant of. I remember working at the school there in Guthrie. When I was at the school, we took a field trip down to the Arbuckle Mountains, and we had a ranger. She worked for the state, a forest ranger. But she showed us fossils of sea life in the Arbuckle Mountains in Oklahoma. She showed us that at one time there was water there. There was fossils there. And God did destroy the earth with a flood. There's evidence of a great flood that has happened. I read this piece. There's been different math formulas that have been used to calculate the earth's population. The flood happened approximately almost 2,000 years, not quite 2,000 years from the beginning of creation. There's been different people that have studied that and tried to calculate the size of families and all of that. And the conservative calculations of people living at the time of the flood was 3 billion people at the time of the flood. That was staggering to me. 3 billion people on the face of the earth. That was a conservative figure. That was catastrophic. That was devastating what happened. But I want to go on. It says, the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. In verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. In verse 11 he says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? He gives three different warnings here. Knowing this, seeing this, Lord, help us today looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I don't know how all this is going to happen. I don't know how it's all going to transpire. But I believe it's true. I believe it will happen. It will come. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. He said, seeing these things, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. So we have a responsibility. Said, be diligent, that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. You know, when I read the chapters of Revelations, letters to the congregations, I wonder what the Lord would say about us. I wonder what the Lord, if He was here in person, what He would say. I believe, I know part of what He would say is, hold fast to what you have. Hold fast to what you have. I believe God has given us some good things. Would we be lacking in our love? What would be the Lord's estimation? Maybe it's something we could pray about. Lord, help us to see ourselves as You see us. In verse 17, He says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. You know, I know the times that we live in can cause us to begin to question the Lord, to question His promises, and to question, you know, what God has given. But Lord, help us today to hold fast to the promises, to hold fast and to keep ourselves in a place that we're ready to meet the Lord. We don't know when our end is. It may be before the end of time. But it's important to be ready to meet the Lord. It's very vital for us to have oil in our vessels, keep ourselves unspotted from this world. I wanted to close with one verse in Jude, the 24th chapter. 24th verse. Jude 24, He said, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Believe the Lord can do that today? I believe He can. You know, Noah was in that godly lineage. He was in that godly line. And Noah found grace to me, that's a beautiful scripture. You remember Abraham interceding, Lord, will you spare it if you find so many? Noah was the only one that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But he did. He found it. And God preserved him. And I believe the Lord today is able to preserve us. He's able to keep us. Another place it talks about He's able to keep from falling. He's able to keep us. If we want to be kept, God is able to keep us. And I thank Him for that. You know, all these things that are in the world today, all the evil, it doesn't have to take us down. It doesn't have to take us down. We can be what God wants us to be. God is, I believe, it's one scripture we read just recently, it talked about Him being faithful to every generation. And I believe that's ours included. The Lord is able to keep us. Verse 21 of Jude mentions too, he said, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Keep yourselves in the love of God. And I believe that's very important for us today. And I feel very challenged when we, you know, you see these things that God, what God has spoken, it hasn't, He's fulfilled. Nothing has slipped. The Lord doesn't let things slip. Every word, everything is going to be fulfilled according to the Scripture. We might be laughed at, mocked at, ridiculed, and Noah probably felt that in his generation. And I wonder sometimes if his sons didn't ask him. I don't know if the sons, God revealed Himself to the sons like He did to Noah. But I wondered if they questioned. Here they are building this ark, and it had never rained upon the earth. It had never rained upon the earth. The earth had been watered by a mist. There was a canopy. And here they're in, and I don't know how long it took them. I'm sure it took probably quite some time to build a vessel that big to preserve their families. And there was probably times they questioned. But you know, the day that they went in and God shut the door to that ark and it began to rain, there was probably much gratefulness and gratitude to God for preservation, for what the Lord had done. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we want to too. Lord, help us to keep ourselves in the love of God. Appreciate your attention.